This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's not as bad as expected, but that's still not good.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. If you're looking for a positive spin, you could try that trick that worked for a while on Wall Street last year. It's not as bad as expected. Item, as written by the Associated Press this morning. Wall Street got a small dose of good news today when J.P. Morgan Chase reported better than expected fourth quarter earnings that helped ease some fears about the banking industry. Oh yeah? The AP has had second thoughts, and here's how it's topping the story now. Wall Street appeared ready to extend its losses today after a discouraging outlook from J.P. Morgan Chase reinforced investors' fears that the financial sector's troubles are far from over. So which is it? Well, you decide how a drop in profits of 76% sounds to you. J.P. Morgan's CEO Jamie Dimon calls it very disappointing, and he's also quoted in the Financial Times with what is, for the banking industry, some uncharacteristic, albeit not so refreshing, candor. And I quote, "The worst of the economic situation is not yet behind us. It looks as if it will continue to deteriorate for most of 2009. Meantime, there are reports Bank of America has asked the Treasury for more cash to help absorb its purchase of Merrill Lynch. It seems B of A didn't realize the extent of Merrill's problems, and the $25 billion in bailout funds it already got won't cover it. Really, we take no joy in piling on the bad numbers, but this news just broke from the Labor Department. New jobless claims jumped by a worse than expected 500,000 plus last week, 524,000 to be exact. And the sum total of this kind of news is a negative 0.8% on Europe's FTSE, DAX, and CAC 40 this hour. New worries of Japanese deflation sent the Nikkei tumbling another 5% today. Speaking of which, wholesale inflation here at home dropped for the fifth straight month in December by close to 2%. The government reports that was largely because of another plunge in energy costs. The European Central Bank cut interest rates by half a percentage point to 2% this morning. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports that's not offering the markets much reassurance.
The banks are in trouble, and we're not just talking about the woes of Citigroup and Bank of America. Some of Europe's biggest financial institutions are reeling. This week, the bad news has been unremitting. The profit warning from the mighty Deutsche Bank sent shockwaves across the continent. So did the forecast that HSBC will need a cash injection of $30 billion. Further big job losses at Barclays have piled on the misery. David Buick of the BGC Group says all this is having a predictable effect on bank shares.
We've seen in a period of just over a week, valuations of these banks right across the spectrum and right across the world fall dramatically. There is a perception overall now, I'm afraid, that the banking sector does require fresh capital.
And he says with investors scrambling to get out of bank shares, that capital will almost certainly have to come from taxpayers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It seems everyone wants a government bailout these days. After yesterday's dismal retail sales figures, store owners quickly asked the government for their share. The incoming Obama administration promises to dole out some $800 billion in government spending and tax cuts. I might suggest the Bob Moon Fiscal Improvement Fund. Because as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington, there's no shortage of lobbyists with ideas on where that money should go.
The Aerospace Industries Association wants lawmakers to know that money spent on space will create good jobs. A group of pornography publishers is asking for $5 billion to reverse a sales slump and keep people employed. Shoe sellers from Walmart to Payless want to lift a tariff that boosts the cost of some imported shoes by 67%. Andrew Sente, who lobbies for the Retail Industry Leaders Association, says getting rid of the tariff would be like a tax cut for consumers.
If they can keep that money in their pockets, they can use it on other items, pay that mortgage, purchase more food, go to the movies. It's something that people can relate to, and we're hoping that we gain some traction here.
States are also angling for a piece of the stimulus, including help for the ballooning costs of low-income support programs like Medicaid and Head Start.
In the economic crisis right now, there are more families being pushed into poverty, and they need more support. And the Head Start program is one of the best places to do that.
Aaron Lieberman runs Acelero Learning, which provides Head Start services for children and families in New Jersey and Nevada. Every extra dollar for Head Start, he says, comes back to the government sevenfold.
Money that isn't needed for incarceration and increased placement in special education. And when you include money increased paid by taxes and you know, people who are able to go out and get jobs as they turn into adults, in the long term, Head Start and programs like it generate enormous savings to the government.
Lobbyist Paul Miller says the mere prospect of a stimulus plan has led businesses, including small ones, to hire a lot more lobbyists.
For the mere fact that so much money is being doled out by the federal government, that if they're not there asking the government to help them and their industries, somebody else will be, and they'll miss out on an opportunity.
Congressional leaders hope to have a final bill on the president's desk by mid-February. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Some 30 corporate executives and environmental leaders head to Washington today, united behind this message: cap greenhouse gas emissions. And the coalition, which includes such players as GE, Duke Energy, and the big three automakers, say the tanking economy only bolsters their case. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The 32 members of the U.S. Climate Action Partnership want Congress to pass legislation that would cut CO2 emissions 14% to 20% over the next decade and 80% by mid-century.
That's a pretty complete change from business as usual.
That's Jonathan Lash, head of the World Resources Institute. He says businesses are making decisions today about how to invest in a clean energy future. And without a clear price for carbon, that money and the jobs it would create may not be spent.
There's an enormous carbon question hanging over all these decisions, and it's a carbon question that can only be answered by Congress.
The coalition, including the World Resources Institute, favors a mandatory cap-and-trade system rather than a carbon tax because it would set specific targets for emissions reductions. He says that would make planning easier for the group's members, which represent just about every sector of the economy. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.